So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen.
So this Advent we've journeyed, and this Christmas we've journeyed all the way through looking at the key characters and cast of the whole story. Beginning from, all the way from Adam and Eve, and all the way towards Joseph and Mary. You know, awesome people, to all see what the living God, how he come to reveal himself to us and how he became the gift to us this Christmas. And we're coming to the end of Christmas, sadly. You know, there's another week or so left, and
enough is enough.
Well, we might ever come to think, maybe that's what we come to think, and when the lights are going, when everything's disappearing, when it's business as usual, you might start to think, so whom was Christmas actually for? Who was the ones who really enjoyed it? Quite frankly, who's looking forward to the next one? And this is an important question to ask, because quite frankly, not everyone feels it's for them. Some of us might not feel religious enough that we kind of get what Christmas is about, so therefore, you know, I'm not going to touch it, I'm not going to celebrate it. We might not know what the meaning is, who Jesus is, or even what a Jesse tree is. And so we choose to not do anything to do with Christmas. As a result, we might feel left out. Because at the heart of it, you know, we doubt we can ever be involved in this divine drama, in this greatest story ever told, which is the birth of Jesus. And we heard about Joseph and Mary, who were awesome people. What about everyone else? Like the ordinary people, those that are around us, those that we live with. How about these ordinary shepherds? What's Christmas got to do with this shepherd? So, as we read in Luke chapter 2, you know, in verse 8 it starts with, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." Now, in the beginning, if we backtrack a little bit, in the beginning of chapter 2, we're given an account of Jesus' birth as he wrote it, and this account is crucial. And imagine this, this is the greatest story that will ever be told, one of the most significant events, perhaps the most significant event in history. And it's not just a teaser, it's the whole winter blockbuster that's happening. It's a big production. Think about a poster, think about the trailer that presents kind of how all the stellar names that will be involved to present this. I mean, we had prophets before, but in Luke, we get big names. We get the Caesar involved earlier on. Quirinius, actually, a politician. Not only a politician, but of Syria, metropolitan Syria back in the day. King David gets a mention early on. Even the city that's named after him, Bethlehem. It might be town in your translations, but there were bigger names too. The stars like Joseph, royal blood, but not on a throne, who showed us what godliness was. And Mary, mother of God and revered apostle. Then I love what the Holy Spirit goes and does. In naming all these names, we get our ensemble cast, it's all set. Then these group of shepherds get the mention. So they're potential nobodies, and they're just extras. What they got to do with all this that's going on? How are they all linked? We may not be particularly interested in who they are, or even concerned if they even have an origin story. But in fact, the focus gets taken off all the others and hones into really what they were doing at the time and what's going to happen with them. And the spotlight gets put onto them. It's almost like the living God included them in this divine drama, where the fate of the universe in this story will get reversed by the birth of the Saviour, King Jesus. Now, it's all about him, but the shepherds' sub-story, they will play a major part in opening this message to Jesus, that he is just practically for everyone. In other words, how the shepherds respond, what happens with them, is deeply connected to who Jesus is and who he is actually come for. It's almost a clue to the type of kingdom that he values. Now, first thing with these shepherds is, as one of the kids of, as Ollie rightly mentioned, it's they take care of sheep. And we can read of another type of shepherds, which are the symbolic under-shepherds that take care of church and people. And it's not those, but these guys were literally farmers. So they were literally living amongst the sheep and the farm in the barns, doing what farmers do. So they wouldn't have been appeared very appealing. Neither could we say with certainty that they would have looked very good, smelt very good, and all those things. And especially if they work through the night, I mean, you know, it's not as well lit up as, you know, our modern day society is. So we can say they just had to, they were putting in a shift, had to get the job done by any means necessary. Now, these shepherds, they probably wouldn't have had any theological training. In fact, we can say they don't. They may not even have gone to church or even read the Bible. Okay, cool. They're probably poor. Maybe they won't read very well or even completely illiterate. And it's no one to hold in really high esteem in this story. Because we already heard about, and especially if we compare it to some of the people we've already talked about, some people who were the governors, Caesars, and, you know, the, with the Mary and Josephs and all the other names we've heard about. And wouldn't it make sense then to leave the shepherds out and just go to people who do get it? But no, that's not what Living God wants us to know in this story by doing all this. Because these are good questions, because we cannot escape the fact that Lord God did choose to reveal himself to these ordinary, simple shepherds. And they may not be the best Christians right now, these shepherds, or the wisest, if anyone wants to measure it that way. They may not be thinking Christmases or Jesus is for them at all. After all, nobody esteems or holds up shepherds, right? Remember in the Old Testament, in particular in 1 Samuel chapter 16, when a king had to be appointed and it had to be one of Jesse's sons. Everyone remember that story? Okay. And David, who was appointed in the end, was a shepherd. But before that, he wasn't even considered a candidate. Completely left out until it was said, go look for him. He's the one. Please include him. So shepherds aren't particularly held in high esteem, and no one really ever did. And these shepherds will come to realize that Christmas is for them, subsequently everyone else. So let's see what happens. And in it says here they were keeping watch over their flocks at night. Verse 9 happens. An angel of the Lord appeared to them and they were terrified. So an angel appeared before these shepherds whilst they were working there, living and working amongst their field, watching over their flocks at night. So imagine all the sheep around them and then suddenly an angel appears. Now they were scared. This is interesting. They were scared. And this makes sense on so many levels. Now imagine putting yourself hours on your night shift, maybe drab, mundane, same old, doing shepherdy things, as you would do as a shepherd. Always on edge, because you had to protect your flock, needs to fight off whatever was trying to, you know, destroy it, whatever, or take it, and all of a sudden, an angel appears, alongside the glory of the Lord. Also, now that would have been quite startling. Imagine that angel appearing alongside our 9-to-5 job, alongside our desk, all of a sudden, whoa, like, where'd you come from? And then, but more so, these guys may have perhaps been exposed to some stories about angels and what they're associated with. And it's usually judgment. Angels are usually associated with judgment. They have a menacing image. Just think about at the end of Genesis chapter 3, at the very beginning, when everyone had to leave the garden. It was shut off by an angel wielding a flaming sword. Not quite a bow and harp, but a flaming sword. And in a final judgment, well, let's just say angel won't be so cuddly or cute, but they do carry out the purposes of God. So therefore, they can be merciful or kind. And the same thing happens in verse 10. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause joy for all the people." They were bringing the good news of verse 11. The Saviour will be born, the King of Israel, the divine Emperor of the heavenly realms, has come in a physical way, in a bodily form. As it said in Colossians 2, chapter 2, verse 9, later, "For in Christ all the fullness of deity lives in bodily form." He came into a chaotic, spoilt, sin-ridden world to be a Saviour. He's the one that we read about in Hebrews, quoting Psalm 40, that he would be, that Jesus saying, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased. Then I said, here I am. It is written about me in a scroll. I have come to do your will, my God." God the Son saying to God the Father, and saying, knowing that he will become the only sacrifice for sin. And this good news the angel brings to the shepherds gets to the very heart of why we do Christmas, but more so the privilege that the shepherds got to listen in and got to know about that at that moment in time, get to be included into that drama itself. It's being reminded who Jesus is and what he will eventually go on to accomplish, how he is the gift from the Father unto humanity. Now these angels, 1500 years before Jesus was born, Moses foresaw this. In Deuteronomy 32, he sung a song. It's called the Song of Moses. And it's a song about Jesus, essentially, alongside the angels, a rock that would be Christ. I'll read a little bit from it. "The name of the Lord, who Jesus is the name of the Lord, the greatness of God. He is the rock. His works are perfect and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he." And it ends like this, and which also appears in Hebrews later. And it ends like this. In Hebrews 1 verse 6 is, "And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him." And we actually see this happening in verses 13 and 14. That the shepherds learn of this good news, that a king is born to them, and everything he represents. And the angels confirm his identity, praising him, worshiping him, that the baby lion in the manger, he would be Christ the rock, the greatness of God, who has come in the flesh, has come to be, who's become human. Who did not come in royal robes or luxury, but wrapped in simple cloths that we read in verse 12 in Luke's Gospel. The gift this Christmas for humanity, the Christmas present that the shepherds got, was wrapped in simple cloths. So the angels praise, they praise, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace on those on whom his favour rests." The shepherds had just had this preached to them by the angels, for them to realise that this favoured king come to give peace and favour on earth. And therefore, right in the middle of this spectacular worship, praise party, if you will, they got a preview to see how the worship and the praise of the Saviour Jesus, the divine Emperor, how the worship of the heavenly realms, how spectacular it actually is. Jesus is what the whole creation has hoped for. And it was so spectacular, they couldn't help but to invite themselves along, although they were told to go. They didn't worry what they would wear, wait till they got fixed up, right state of mind. They simply went to see. So they hurried off to check it out. And in verse 16, they saw him lying in a manger. They saw Jesus, baby Jesus, lying in a manger. Not too dissimilar to the scene we have there. They saw the eternal word of John chapter 1, made flesh, given a human body, as we saw in Hebrews in Psalm 40, quoting Psalm 40, and literally coming to their neighbourhood. It must have been very, very surreal for them. I mean, think about it. It was in a barn of theirs, or someone they knew about. It belonged to someone they knew. It was in their neighbourhood, their workplace. That would be a place fitting for such a royal birth at this moment in time. It was an environment only they don't mind being in, alongside their very own animals which they owned. They saw a baby in a manger, exactly as it was told to them by the angels. And on a deeper level, these shepherds would have known what type of baby they are looking at right then. We already said they didn't have any theological training. They didn't neither frequented the temple, perhaps. They were not super spiritual or religious. They just knew how to be shepherds. And from what they were already told by the angels, they knew they were looking at the true shepherd lying in a manger. The true shepherd of Ezekiel 34, whom they may have heard about, who would gather, protect, feed and restore his sheep, his people, eventually separating sheep from goats. So actually they were looking at a good shepherd that would one day lay down his life for his sheep. And which is even more surreal, they would have known that manger they use regularly to nurse newborn lambs. Some of them they knew would have been used for the purposes of sacrifice in the temple. How peculiar that this time it was used to cradle the very Lamb of God, whom would be the very final sacrifice for all eternity. And these shepherds saw the culmination of all the good news about Jesus happening in their neck of the woods. It happened on their side of town. Not in cosmopolitan Rome, who could have thought, yep, we're esteemed enough. We can handle a divine or royal birth. We can throw a lavish party fitting of someone that important. We do all the time with our own governors and esteemed officials. Yep, he could be born here. But it wasn't there. Could have been a temple. Because in the temple, that's religious enough, right? People there are zealous enough. They're clean enough to receive the Messiah. Because they would have even excluded, by the culture of the day, the people like the shepherds who were too unclean to get in, to even enter. But no, people like the shepherds were not welcome there. But the angel showed us, as the Lord God showed us, that these shepherds were welcome as they are. Because it was them that got invited to come and see that Christmas really is for them. It would come to them. That the living God had been born to people like them, whom at that moment, not being maybe ready, religiously ready, not even in clean clothing at the time. And imagine what they would have been talking about, or what they would have been doing, you know, at that time of the night, the banter that was involved, when they were just working a normal day out in the fields. And then all of a sudden, interrupted by angels singing and telling them to come as they are, and just go and see. Which they literally did. And no matter what we may think of ourselves or others, whether we are clean, unclean, whether we're esteemed, honoured or not, worldly or even sinful, heaven is always stronger. And those things are no barrier to the living God. Where is the Lord God? Perhaps he is closer than we think, as these shepherds discovered. Because he surpasses all geographic, social boundaries to be with people he wants to be with. As we see in these verses, the shepherds literally saw the good news of Jesus, heaven coming onto earth, the answer to everything gone wrong, who even enabled those shepherds to begin again. They literally saw that even they could be involved, invited into this bigger story. And they even led the charge in telling everyone in verses 17 and 20 by becoming even disciples of Jesus at that moment, praising the Father and rejoicing with anyone who accepted what they were talking about. They had themselves a very Merry Christmas that year. And we know this feeling in our own lives when we shamelessly tell people about all the wonderful things that happen to us, that we get included in, we can want other people to know. And these shepherds were leading that charge. They were included when they may not have been honoured, but they were invited to participate in the good news of Jesus coming to earth. They're living proof that even the most distant people may still look at Isaiah 9 with confidence and say that a child is born unto us, will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And that this child, he honours those who are overlooked and excluded, just like David was overlooked, who was ultimately made the king by him. Shepherds spread the word which deeply affected Mary's heart in verse 19, and which ultimately may have influenced the way she has gone to live as the mother of God. Not only giving birth to Jesus, the promised Saviour, Redeemer, she also got to witness what the kingdom of heaven is like and the type of people the living God esteems and what is important to him. So who is Christmas actually for? You are. It's about Jesus, but for the shepherds, for practically everyone. And seeing Jesus born caused their hearts to respond in praise and worship. That led them to go tell everyone that the divine emperor, the true shepherd in their game of life in our lives, is here. On a deeper level, he is the answer to everything that's gone wrong. And the kingdom of heaven is ultimately not concerned with who is honoured as it is in Rome, or who is the most even esteemed or upheld within the temple. Because the shepherds would have been excluded by those standards. But we come to see that the living God, that Jesus is for everybody. And that he's actually not that far away from us. Literally in our neighbourhood, or in a place familiar to us. And this message then, as the shepherds got the invite, we get that same invite today. To come as we are, whoever we are, if we are even feeling weary, tired, fed up or hopeless, the good news of Christmas about Jesus is for us. Whoever we may be, wherever we are, we can call out to him today. Because it was him that first chose to come to us. And we can know with confidence we can come exactly as we are and participate and get included in his story. And therefore, to God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, be ascribed all the praise, all the honour, and all the majesty, now and forever. Amen. Amen.